God, let us learn today. Let us be filled with your Spirit. Let us be moved to do things that we thought maybe weren't even possible. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to play a game. You have to tell me what movie I am quoting or I am trying to act out. Ready? I've got to go, Rock. I'm all right. I'm not afraid. Sometimes, Rock, when the team is up against it, when things are wrong and the brakes are beating the boys, you tell them to go in there with all they've got and win just one for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, Rock, but I'll know about it, and I'll be happy.
New Rodney,
All-American. Who said the line? All right, very good. I love those inspirational moments in film, whether it's New Rodney inspiring the 1928 Notre Dame football team, or John Keating inspiring students in his poetry class, if you remember this one. Go on. Lean in. Listen. Hear it? Carpe. Hear it? Carpe. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Name the movie? Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams. Yes. Sometimes we need a pep talk to get us back on track. Sometimes we need a pep talk to get us even started on the right track. And I think that this week's reading from 1 Timothy is a pep talk because it reminds the person addressed where they're from and what they're made of. And it encourages the person to dig down deep and remember how important they are. It reminds them that God provides power and love. It reminds them that Jesus is capable of doing anything. It encourages them to be a bold speaker of the truth. It encourages them to hold fast to what is important and continue following the Holy Spirit. And I read this letter, and when I'm talking about it now, I can feel my heart. It's beating faster. Anybody's heart beating faster, or is it still pretty slow, even keel? You know, And there is something more to learn from this scripture today than just getting inspired and getting sent out. But, you know, that is good. If you read the Bible and you get inspired, I think it's a really good thing, but there is something more to learn. I really did say that. This is the reason that we gather to worship, to be inspired and to go out into the world. All right, so let's go out inspired into the world, not only with this readiness of let's go out and do something, but with a little insight that can help add to that. Four phrases from this morning's Bible reading. One of them, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. Another one, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Another one, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Fourth one, hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to start from the end and work backwards. That first one, which is the last one, hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I did it again with the microphone thing. I'm echoing all over the place. How's that? Better? Worse? The same? Just fine? I look straight at me. I don't know why. I should look at other people. Is it okay back there? Can you hear? Does it echo too much? Doesn't echo too much. Oh, Don's like, oh, it kind of echoes. It's important for us when we share our story of faith with other people, to be sure what we have to say is something that is sound teaching. I don't mean that we have it all figured out or that it adheres to someone's prescribed set of things have to be this way if you want to do anything, and if you want to do anything other than that, you're in big trouble with God. Not that way. Rather, when you tell people what following Jesus means to you, that you keep in mind the two important rules. What are the two important rules?
Love God. Boy, you're saying it like I said it way too much.
Love God and love each other. But those are important when you're sharing your story of faith, whatever that is, whatever your experience with God has been, that those two things are underneath it all, over it all, or however that works. The second one, which was the third one. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. How many of you are shy? How many of you are lying? You know, sometimes we are shy. Different people with different personalities find different ways to express what they believe and what they think is important. And I think from this reading that we are encouraged to be bold in sharing our journey of faith with others. But how we do that is going to be different from one person to the other. Some may talk, stand up and proclaim boldly. Some may write it down, journal about it, write a book, write a paper, write an essay, blog. How many of you blog? I know I do. I know a few people that do. How many of you know what a blog is? How many of you don't? It's short for weblog, which is an online diary. And my only instruction to anyone who ever wants to weblog or blog is never write anything in your blog that you don't want your mother to read. Because it's a public forum. You write your thoughts down. Never write anything in there that you don't want your mother to read. It's a good guideline. Some may let their lives live out their faith with very little words. Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity, talked about that, the theology of the hammer. Billy Graham has said, if you want to give a man a tract of the four spiritual laws, wrap it in a sandwich. A hungry man, that is. Our faith can live out what we're doing. The theology of we live our lives seeking to do what God wants us to do. Jesus knows that whatever way we share, God calls us to be bold, whatever that is, and to be filled with love. Because God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The third one, which is the second one. There we go. Anyone confused by that? From what I said? Okay. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. How many of you like to start fires? And I mean like campfires, not, you know. How many of you like starting campfires, having bonfires? And then how many of you have been camping and then in the morning you get up and the fire is gone, but there's just a little bit of smoldering something there. And you rekindle it. You put some more stuff in there and you blow on it. The fire really never left. But it kind of got off track, or it just sort of almost disappeared. And have you ever felt like you've gotten off track with a goal, or you ever thought you've made such a mess of things that you don't know if they'll ever get better? Have you ever questioned your faith so much that you wonder if God still believes in you? God never leaves. I believe that. God gives to everyone the gift of love and the gift of sharing love with others. And sometimes we just need to remember that. Rekindling that flame. Rekindling that gift. And then the fourth one, which is the first one. Good. Say that really loud. Which is the I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. And I love this one. Here's the same author who, in the chapter before in 1 Timothy, said, I permit no woman to teach or have authority over a man. She is to keep silence. Notice I say that with a deep voice, as if it means something more. And that's actually, it's in reference to a situation where husbands and wives were arguing in church, reflecting a culture that simply did not respect women. But now that same author is lifting up two women, Lois and Eunice, as teachers, as faith sharers, as legacy beginners. Lois and Eunice taught faith. They shared faith. They were the reasons for this pep talk, that even a pep talk needed to happen with Timothy, because there was something that started that he kind of had lost a little bit and needed to be rekindled. These are two women who, in a culture that did not respect women, were the leaders that the church needed. And you know what? This is not the only place in the Bible. This progressive and rebellious Bible, the Bible of the Old and the New Testament, where women are shown as leaders, even though the culture of the Bible did not respect women. Miriam, Moses' sister, led with Moses. She's described as a prophet in Exodus 15. Deborah, she was a judge, one of the judges at the time of Samson and Gideon. Deborah is just another one of them. In Judges 4, you find out about Deborah, who led the people. Esther saved her people. Queen Esther was bold enough to go and stand before the king and say something has to be done, even though she's really afraid. She saved her people. Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, is described as a disciple in Acts 9. Priscilla led a home church with her husband, Aquila. She led the church with her husband, but she was one of the leaders, Acts 18. And Phoebe, she's described in the Bible as a minister. Not a ministress or whatever. I mean, she's a minister. The same term used, just like anyone else who's described as a minister. That's in Romans 16. These women and others were leaders in a culture that didn't respect women. And today we live in a far different culture where women and men can lead, teach, learn from, be cared for, care for each other. Four things. Reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that lives in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. Pep talk to Timothy. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. I know that things haven't been going so well, or maybe you're feeling down, but remember what's down at the base of that. You have a gift to share. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Don't be afraid to share that gift. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Don't stray from the truth. Don't stray from loving God and loving others and teaching others to do the same thing. You know, we all can learn from each other, women and men, children and adults. We can teach each other, women and men, children, adults, everyone. We can care for each other. We can be genuine and authentic as we share love and faith with one another. Everyone has the ability to learn. Everyone has the ability to teach in some way or another. And when I say everyone, who does that include?
Everyone.
Everyone, yeah, see, that's the qualifier. Everyone includes everyone. Sometimes we wonder, does everyone really include everyone? Yes, everyone includes everyone. Here's a challenge for this week, knowing that we can all learn from each other. First one is hold on to the two rules of love God, love everyone. Number two, share your faith boldly in whatever way works. Three, remember God's gift to you. Maybe it needs to be rekindled. Maybe the flame is glowing, is burning. Maybe it's on fire now, but remember God's gift to you. And lastly, be real. Be genuine. Be authentic as you live out this sincere faith. Let's pray. I thank you for the gifts that you have given all of us. Thank you that we can learn from one another, we can teach one another. We can know that love for you and love for each other is where we begin. And the reaching out and caring for one another continues as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.